Got your Bible? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to reread verses 16 through 26. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now I'm going to repeat that one because I think it bears reading again. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we do seek your peace. Lord, we come before you seeking your presence in our lives. That's the only true way we can know peace. But Father, we don't know how to do that real well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to seek after it. So Lord, we need your help. And we come to you this morning, and as we read your word, we ask you to reveal it to us as I preach your word. Lord, use me to reveal to your people here how they can be closer to you and know that peace. Lord, how they can know you more. And how we can better reflect you and your glory to the world around us. And worship you in all that we do. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to be present in our midst now. Lead and guide this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're seeking God's peace. And I took Galatians. Now, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. How many of you are familiar with that passage? You've read it before. This wasn't the first time. The fruit of the Spirit are in there. We also have that whole list of nasty stuff. Okay? Dan, the way Dan was talking, maybe it's not as obvious to today's world as it was back then. I mean, it says right there, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I mean, that whole list. And apparently, it's not so obvious because we tend to gravitate towards these things as opposed to gravitating towards the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's seeking God's peace. That's not the primary point that you're going to find when you read this passage. So maybe my hermeneutics is a little off this week. We'll have to see. You'll have to make that decision when I'm done, whether I've twisted the passage in some manner. But what I've done is I took our goal, our direction, from this week's Seek God for the City, which is to seek God's peace. And I said, where do we find it? Where do we get it? I mean, because first, if I'm going to have something, I need to first seek it for myself, right? We need to seek it for ourselves. And then we need, before we can give it to somebody else, before we can share it with the world, we have to have it. Okay? I cannot give you something that I do not have, right? At least not legally. If it's not mine, I can't give it to you. Unless it's something that was just given to me to pass on to you. But if I don't have it, I can't make that transfer. So I need to seek God's peace. Now, this isn't necessarily as easy as we might think, but because it's just not as simple as seeking Jesus. Because first, you know, we have to re-identify just what peace is. Because when we look at God's Word, you know, Matthew, it tells us. Matthew 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Okay, we like this. Anybody here want to be called a child of God? I mean, I'm all signed up for that one. I'm saying, yes, sign me up to be child of God. You know, I'll tick, oops, getting excited here. I'll tick that box, yeah. Child of God, yes, I like that title. You know, good. You know, that means I'm in the good category, hopefully. You know, I get to, you know, have every eternal life, not eternal damnation. You know, that's what I'm looking for. You know, a right relationship with the Father instead of a broken and up relationship there. But it says here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they would be called children of God. A peacemaker. However, Jesus throws a monkey in the wrench. He does it in a lot of stuff, doesn't he? I mean, we think we know how something is supposed to go, and then Jesus came along and he'd say, you know, I say, the world says this, but I tell you, this is what's the truth. I'm like, what? Really? Yeah. Everybody else is wrong. And he's right. Everybody else is wrong. He's the one that's right. But when we look at Jesus, what we find is he kind of throws our concept of peace up in our face and asks us to re-examine it. Matthew 10, verse 34, it says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Hold it, isn't one of Jesus' names Prince of Peace? There's certainly plenty of churches out there called Prince of Peace. Psalms and prophecies, yeah, he is Prince of Peace. But he says, but it's not as the world sees peace. See, the world sees peace like Dan was talking about. Oh, you want to do that? That's okay. We'll tell you. It's accommodating. It's going along with it. It's not saying, hey, there's something out there that you're not supposed to have, you're not supposed to do. Even in the Garden of Eden, they were told, anything you want, except that tree. Eat anything but that. What did they do? They broke the one rule they had. And God said, because of that, now you face death. And you've brought sin into the world. And all these terrible things, there is consequence to accommodating that which God sees as wrong and saying it's right. So when Jesus is coming, he says, don't suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not. I come to bring, not bring peace, but a sword. Division. Because what's going on there in this passage, if we actually went and studied that whole thing, he's talking, when we follow Jesus, we're going to be going against the world. And that's not a peaceful process, people. That in and of itself is going to bring division. You got to choose a side. Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow the world? It's pretty simple, straightforward when we lay it out that way, except most of us want both. I want to be called a child of God, but I want to do that too. Can't do that. We can't do that. We cannot willfully disobey God and call Him Lord at the same time. Can't do it. We cannot deny Him and praise Him and proclaim Him at the same time. It's one or the other. Wow, that seems kind of tough. Well, yeah, it is, but that's what Jesus tells us. But we are told later in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there still is peace of God. So where is this peace if Jesus coming in is bringing division and conflict? Where is the peace? The peace, people, is between us and the Father. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This comes not from the world, but it comes from God. From having our relationship with the Father repaired. Adam and Eve broke it. We need to get it repaired, each and every one of us. We can only do that through the work that Jesus did on the cross and then having the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we need the Spirit. We need life by the Spirit. Now we're going to Galatians. Life by the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Life by the Spirit. That means living the life. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit is peace. Again, how do we get that Spirit? We only receive the Spirit to have that indwelling Spirit when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Thus, on the one hand, Jesus is bringing division into the world. And on the other hand, He's bringing peace. Because He's not bringing peace with the world, but He's bringing peace with the Father. And that's real peace. How many of you love somebody? Have you ever had conflict in that relationship? Yeah. Peace comes when God is there in it and bringing it to under His headship. Because when we're in charge, and you know what's happened? There's conflict. See, peace is not found in the world, on this earth, but instead it's found in our restored and sanctified relationship with God the Father through the work of Jesus on the cross and then the indwelling Holy Spirit. See, when we believe on the work that Jesus did on the cross, then we receive that Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit seals us as God's, and then comes to indwell us. Then the Holy Spirit works to conform us more and more into the image of Christ as He does this. We have the opportunity to be fruitful for God. See, He raises up the Holy Spirit within us, farms within us the very fruit of the Spirit. I can't raise the fruit of the Spirit. I can't cause anything to grow. God causes it to grow, even the fruit of the Spirit. I can assist in the process, but I don't make it happen. Okay? I can go to a garden and I can plant and I can weed, but I still can't make it grow. Okay, that's God. And that's the same thing for the spiritual gifts also. Included is peace. But I can do those things that will enable that growth to happen more often. Now, I got a little quote for you here, one that I've seen a few times before. I don't know who the author is of this, but I, you know, ask you this question. I posted it on Facebook this week. A couple of you may have seen it. It says, if someone was to pay you 10 cents for every kind word that you've ever spoke, and they were to collect from you 5 cents for every unkind word, would you be wealthy or poor? Would you be wealthy or poor? Am I cultivating the Holy Spirit? Am I giving God room to fill? Am I attempting to remove the weeds from my life? Am I acting in a kind manner and a loving manner to others? If I'm not, it's awful tough for that crop to grow in my life. Galatians 5:24-26. Let's look at it says, those who belong to Jesus Christ, or to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Okay? Those sinful natures have been crucified, killed, died. Since we live by the Spirit, and that's capital S Spirit, that means it's the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about my little spirit. It's with me. We're talking about God's Spirit within me, or God's Spirit within you. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. See, it's as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we cultivate the spiritual fruit of peace first in our relationship with God, then our relationships with others, that we start to really experience that peace that passes understanding. That we become peacemakers and become known as the children of God. It is as we walk with the Holy Spirit that we're going to receive all the fruit, including peace. We're not going to get peace aside from the Holy Spirit. You just won't have it. Not real peace. Not peace between you and God. And people, that's the one that counts. The peace between us and the world, Jesus said He came to bring a sword. He said to bring division. And He is. He is that stumbling block for the world. They can't understand how He is right, and everything that the world says is right is actually wrong. They just don't get it. And we can't get it until we submit ourselves to God and receive Him as our Lord through the work that Jesus did on the cross. And as He becomes our Savior and makes our relationship right with the Lord, then the Holy Spirit comes in with and starts growing within us that fruit of peace. People, if you want peace, you need Jesus and you need the Holy Spirit and you need God the Father. You need God. We all do. The peace of the world is fake. It's phony. Seek God's peace by seeking God, by seeking to submit your will to His. You know what? If God's in charge of my life, I don't need to worry about it. Oh, peace. If God is truly my Lord, He is the one who's responsible to provide for me. Oh, peace. If God is indeed my Lord, my Savior, He's the one that's going to protect me ultimately. Oh, peace. I don't need to worry about protecting myself, fighting for my rights, because He's got my back. People, peace comes from God. Seek God's peace. Seek God's face. Submit yourself to Him, and you'll know peace. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this day and we give You praise. Lord, we thank You that You, God, are merciful and gracious. That You gave Your Son up for us, that we might be reconciled to You and know peace in our relationship between You. That we might know real peace there. Lord, help us today to seek after that. To cultivate it within our lives actively. Seek to come alongside the Holy Spirit and not hamper that growth, but to encourage it. My Lord, we can't make that seed grow. We can succeed in choking it out. We can succeed in inhibiting that growth. So Lord, instead, might we come alongside of it and encourage it. That we might have peace and abundance between You and I, Lord, between us and You, and Lord, between each other. And then, might we share that peace with the world. Might we be peacemakers, reconciling a lost world to its Lord. Amen.